Good afternoon from the Holy Ghost Calling webpage. This is Sunday afternoon here, and Brother Freedom has just arrived, and the Lord has really been speaking a lot to him lately, and he's just very full, so we don't want to delay him. We're going to start a little bit earlier today so that this material can be placed on the recording. God is so good. Father, we just thank you for touching and anointing the listeners. We thank you for touching and anointing Brother Freedom. And Lord, thank you for touching and anointing me also, because I need all of you I can get, Lord. I'm very imperfect, and I love you, and I thank you, and we give this home, this living room to you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, those people out there that are suffering, we just believe and agree with them for their healing, for their deliverance, for a new day for them. Help them to truly listen to this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father in heaven, we're so thankful for thy mighty strength, thy mighty power, thy mighty love. Through thy revelation, that you show us the great and mighty truths that are so real. Father God, this proves there's something to the power of the Holy Ghost. We realize it's just not just spoken out as something, but it's reality. It's reality. It's things come into existence by the move of the Spirit. And that's just the way it was many years ago when I walked and you taught me back in those days. You would speak things and they would happen. And that's why it still happens. You speak great things, things happen. And we realize that those words are formulated by your power, by your anointing. And we are what should have the spiritual ears on to hear what those words are. And rely that whatever we hear from you is going to be reality. It's going to be a transformation point from that point of time receiving that picture to the time it comes in progress. To the time after its progress, its birth becomes then a living reality. It becomes a has been. It's been already been done because we've been living in thy spirit. The church this day is missing great and mighty opportunities because the things that they should be able to. They would look back right now and say, boy, that's God's done great mighty things. But they're looking. They're still looking. They're looking. They're not hearing. They're looking. And they don't see. They look. And they're willfully in discouragement. They're willfully in place of non-return. Father, we just pray you might touch your people this day. And Father, we know there's needing of the Spirit of God. We know there's a great need in the power of the Holy Ghost. There's great need in this hour for the refreshing touch from heaven that you give in the days of old, in the days of the 120. And that rebirth needs to take place in this last hour. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, said the Lord. And we believe that you're going to do great and mighty things to those that believe and trust in you this day. And Lord, I thank you this day. I pray that we'll not be confused. Oh, we'll be liberated this day. We'll come out of not knowing, but we'll know, because you are our teacher. And we thank you that you are able, and you're more adequate to able to teach us. And we thank you in the wonderful name. We thank you for all the good things. We thank you for every good and perfect gift. We thank you for life itself, which is just short compared to eternity. It's just for a whisper. It's only for a breath of time. It's here, it's gone. We must use that breath of time very special, listening, aware. We have not that moment again. And what the people are doing in the world this day, ministers, they're losing it because they're looking for something that looking for their cup is never coming, because they're following their own endeavor. They're following their own thoughts about you. We need to be in you, and your thoughts should draw us, instead of our thoughts bringing forth the Comforter. It's just backwards what it should be. They're trying to bring forth the coming, and the coming is going to bring forth us to you. There's a difference. We need to be led of the Spirit, not the Spirit being commanded to move upon by us. It's backwards. It's backwards. The churches, they're backwards. They're commanding the Spirit to move, and the Spirit has to command us what to do. It's just deliberately backwards. I said it this morning so vividly. And that place I went to is just like death. It was like death in that place. It was like a funeral home. It was like being in a frigid place, and when it's so good to be back right now in the presence of the Holy Ghost. It's so good to feel your presence. It's good to feel your touch. It's good to feel your great I am. It's great to feel that great I that follows throughout the earth, that we're never alone. We're never afraid, because you are the comforter. You are the one that supersedes us and blesses us and keeps us from all powers of darkness, and bring us into your safety. Bring us into your comfort. You comfort those who are all in any trouble, that we might be able to comfort those who are in trouble by the same comfort that comforts us from you. And Father, we just give you that praise. We give that honor. We thank you this day, the wonderful power of Jesus Christ, the righteous, who has paid in full that we might receive all these blessings. We thank you, Jesus, for making all this day possible. We thank you, Jesus, what you did upon the cross. We thank you that you are steadfast and sure. We thank you that you're real. We thank you that you're faithful. We thank you are the great I am. And Lord, Father, I thank you that you're real. I thank you for the Comforter. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you this day, and we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Last night I had a phone call, and my daughter said she'd met a man that I knew about 30 years ago, about the time that God was moving in my heart. And he was going to be pastoring a church in an adjoining city, fairly close. It's drivable distance. So I thought, well, I might just go down and visit him. And I took my friend, my brother here, with us, and we went down. We feel that in here. There's a refreshing. There's life. There's abundance of God's blessing. You feel the aroma of God's glory. You feel no darkness. You feel the light of heaven. You feel the sunshine, the ray from heaven. You feel the power of God here. 91st Psalms is full of us. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. And we feel that in here. When we arrived in that church, you know, but I didn't feel that down there. It was all the opposite. And I seen this little young fellow was just an orphan for a speaker. He really needs some time to grow, because he's going to have trouble with pride. He needs to learn. That's what the Word of God says. And he gave this message, and he spoke this message just backwards in its whole entirety. That all of us are ready to go out and kill Goliath and do all these things that David did, because we're just that. But I don't see it that way. I see there has to be an anointing. There has to be time that we stand before God and walk with Him and talk with Him and be instructed by Him. He wants us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, that we might be able to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy. We realize the Word of God is talking about a growth. Okay, it's in Titus, the third chapter of Titus, the fourth verse, but after the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward all men appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration of the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? That means just exactly what God picked me from. See, I'm actually a caterpillar mechanic, or I was a caterpillar operator, and then I went to be caterpillar mechanic because people didn't really know. So people say, you got to work as a mechanic instead of operating. I like to operate the best, but I operated a mechanic for a long time. And I learned that you had to literally take the parts that were worn and destroy them a lot of times. They were no earthly good. You couldn't put them out in a place that someone come back and reuse them, because you was going to have a failure then. You had to literally, because the tolerances were worn to the degree that you could not use that part no longer. It was a misfit. And the renewing, it had to renew, put a new power in there. And there had to be a washing. Many times there was a washing of a cleaning that whole system out. It had to have a flushing out. It had to be thoroughly, furnishedly pure. It had to be a place of no contaminant. It had to be a place of nothing wrong in that. It was pollute that system that was so vitally to keep that system in working by the lubrication. In the same way as it in the Holy Spirit, we need to be so full of the Holy Ghost that we have a relationship with God that's alive within us at all times. Because we're living in such a realm that we, as God's people, in full of the Holy Ghost, we have to keep washing every day, a regeneration of God's Spirit upon us, the renewing of our mind. We might prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There has to be a renewing. God did it that way that we would not just go back. The Bible says back in the New Old Testament, can two walk together unless they agree? We cannot walk unless in agreement. God is the one we're going to be walking with. He's our partner. And through this life, we got should know that, learn that after we accept Jesus. There should be a relationship with our Father because the Holy Spirit is living within us. And the Father sees us then not through ourselves, but He sees the Holy. I didn't know this till just last week and Thursday when God gave me a revelation. But actually, we're full of the Spirit of God. There's like a He doesn't even see us. He sees the reflection of the Holy Spirit within us, and He sees us as righteous. Because we're so, our clothes are filthy rags in ourselves. And anytime we think we're so holy, that message I heard this morning made me puke. I had to go back home, and I couldn't get home to fast enough. Because that message stunk. It stunk because it was not true. It was letting everybody believe that they were just like David. And they was going to get out here and whip Goliath. And I guarantee you it takes the anointing of God. God anointed David many, many years ago. David had the anointing from heaven. He was a child of God. He was not the same as the ones around about him. He was more than conquered through him that loved him. That's what we've become. We become a supernatural strength, not of our own strength, but through the power of God. And that's what we have to put in our mind. Not we're better, but we have to come to that place that God literally changed our heart, our mind, our spirit, our body, soul, the whole works, that we're cleansed. We're walking renewed by the Holy Ghost. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal salvation. We have this hope, this wonderful hope that relies in our strength within the living God. The 91st Psalm very vividly tells, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We have to abide there. If you get saved and you don't abide there, I differ from people that say, once saved, always saved, because I do not believe in it. God does not show it to me any place, and He has both. He called me many years ago, and He said it was not from Him then, and if it wasn't for Him then, I don't believe it's except He has told me since, but I'm going to be bringing it down to man's level a little bit, but I don't believe it's available now either. But I know it's available, not available. I know that God doesn't use it. I can say that with the Lord from heaven. We got to come out from this world, and we must be separate, set the Lord Spirit of God. God wants to walk in His holiness and His beauty. Without holiness, no man shall see or please God. There's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Seek ye first His kingdom, and all these things shall be added in you. Call on me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. It's not our fight, it's God's fight. Be strong, Lord, that you might put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, for against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness, and high places. Therefore, put you on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I've got to slow down just a little, because that's where God wants us to be. In life itself, God wants us to slow down and live in His comfort. Wants us to think what we're saying. Don't get carried away like I did a few seconds ago. He wants us to walk according to His will. He wants us to be very careful where we walk. The Bible says be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So God really wants us to be careful what we say, what we hear, and what we do. That the words in my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to the eyesight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. It says if we should call upon the Lord, He will answer us. But nowadays, I don't really believe the Lord's going to answer, because I believe that people are not even calling upon the Lord. You know, I went, my friend and I, we went up to, we knew this couple that they were sort of evangelists, and he had a teaching evangel, and he, on Sunday night, he wanted Brother Clinton and I to go up and and just be there. So we decided to drive up. It was really a rainy night. One of those nights is not the best night to be out, but we went anyway. And always up to this pastor where they went to came to me because they had mentioned that I had some dealings with the Lord, which I have. I have a lot of dealings with the Lord. And so he told me, he says, the next Sunday, which I think was Easter Sunday, and it was looked like it was going to be raining, and he was going to, all that work that he had did, he was going to be to no avail. But the Spirit of God just superseded real fast and let me know that he didn't ever pray about it. I said, brother, you've never prayed about this. Oh, I didn't think you had to. See, that's what it is. We're a partnership with God, and he is the leader. We're not the leader. But what we're doing, we become a leader. I heard that this morning basically down there. We're the leader, and everything they're saying, it sounds like if I was visiting, if I didn't know better, that I better rush up there right then, and I better try to get saved because they had the answer for everything that went on in that whole being. They was God himself. And I see how God views it. We're to be in God's sight. That means we're to be able to view God all the time. We wait upon him for the words. We wait upon the Lord. We don't come too hastily out to the intersection without asking God, should I veer out? God will lead us across the intersection of life. He'll take us through the times of valleys. You know, I was in a town here about 3 years ago, and I was driving back on the Esplanade, heading north, and it was raining real heavily, and I seen this truck pull out to the stop sign, but he didn't stop. So I was driving pretty fast, for I expected him to actually stop, because that's what he's supposed to do. As soon as he got out across the street, he had a long trailer on behind him, so he was there. He wasn't going to get me. He was right in the front of you. There was not very much distance between him and a ditch. And before I could think, the Lord just took over real fast. Do what I tell you to do and you'll make it. That fast God could take to my heart. We need that alertness that God's there to help us. We shouldn't have to go down and call the undertaker someplace. What did I do wrong? Why did I miss that? What we think, well, we command God, but God leads us. We live where we should be, and then we get in circumstances like that, then it's God's pleasure to come down and take over. He takes over and does what we can't do. Now, we do everything we can do up to that point, and that's a part that's supernatural. It's not natural no longer when he takes over. And when I give him the spirit and will, it took to the left real heavily, went right around. It's like God's hand moved around that car, around that truck. Never hit nothing. That's supernatural. I tell you, I was running a cat a couple years ago. And I was praying that morning. I was really praying, seeking God. And all of a sudden, I go around this place that I had to get off by this gate. It was just a fake gate. And off the right of it was like probably about 300 feet straight off with great big deer brush. But I thought the deer brush wasn't so big. I thought it was dirt there. But I found out there was nothing under the deer brush, but just, it was big deer brush. So I thought that cat was going over. God spoke to me in this and says, hold on, and told me what to do. He said, you're not going to go over. I'm going to help you. God came through in an instant, in a heartbeat. I even seen my life going down. And I said, what? I thought this in my heart. This is how. It was that, but things go by real fast when these things, they speed up. I said, Lord, why did I was talking to the Lord, I said, why did I, this period of my time, I'm so getting old, I didn't even need to be up here. Why am I even up here? And then that's when God says, straighten up. There's times that God has to say, straighten up, my child. Straighten up, I'll be with you. I've supported you all the way. I will not let you tip over right now. I'm going to help you get through this impassable gate. It looked like it straight up, and the tracks on that cat was so smooth, and I was having troubles just getting in traction. But somehow God supernaturally, and I had this 11,000 pound ball behind me. So I unhooked from it, sort of, and got up around it. And I don't know how, it had to be the hand of the Lord. But I can tell you, time after time, God knew in an instant, And I'll tell you another time, I was in Texas, the low bed, and I was loading this cat up, and the Holy Spirit said, jump. This is 6 in the morning, and the days were dark that morning, 6 o'clock. I had headlights on my truck. I loaded the cat, and I thought nobody was around. It was like a road that came to a T where we loaded the cat. It was on dirt there, so I walked up on the dirt, turned the low bed around, and walked on the dirt, didn't get the cat on the, no black top or nothing. That's where I loaded. Loaded right on the end of the T there, which the road was pretty wide. It was a paved road. And when the Holy Spirit said, jump, I jumped as high as, he said, jump as high as you can jump. It's your life. So I jumped as high as I jumped. And when I looked down, there was a man with no lights in his car, hit me, and my body went over the top of the left hand, the windshield, and went over this, and he kept going. And so I was supernaturally, I was saved. So what I'm telling you out there, we serve a great God. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He is beyond anything that we ever, you've got to have the Holy Ghost. He is your strength. He is your helper. He is the one who will help you through. He will bring you through days of troubles. He'll bring you through times. He's coming soon. The Lord's coming soon. And we have to do one thing as our pattern. There's a pattern, a revelation in the Word of God, and I got it 3 minutes ago. And if we don't walk this way, we're going to miss it because he's coming. He's coming maybe tonight. He might come this afternoon. Maybe it's tomorrow night, but he's coming. You know, I've never seen it. 100, maybe some of you out there might be able to tell me, but I've never heard of it being 110 in Houston. It's 110 right now in Houston. That's hot down there. 90s is very hot. It's time from Olsen to pray down there because they've got some troubles. They have some deep troubles. I prayed for them here a while back for Oklahoma. I didn't see no one pray for Oklahoma, and there was no letting up the sunshine. And I prayed on the internet, and God stopped that rain. God stopped that rain. He did. Came back later, but he stopped it for that time. There was no let up. There was not going to be a let up. So that night I just said, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to intercede for Oklahoma. It's on record. And God came down mightily. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to come in times of crisis. He wants us to be alive in God in the times of crisis. It's a crisis when it's going to tip that can over. It's a crisis when it's going to hit that truck. It's a crisis when that other car was going to hit me and kill me. It's a crisis. And you must live because you need the Holy Ghost to live in a time of crisis. You must have the Holy Ghost to live in the time of crisis because every day is not going to be a good day. Every day can be a bad day, and God will make it out to be a good day with the power of God. God is real. He will save you. He'll keep you. He'll walk. And even walk with God. Oh, hallelujah. All the days of life. He was not because God took him. He walked with God. He was not. And that's what, if you think about it, it's what it's going to come to this new church. You know, Jesus is coming back and there's only be a few. I believe it's going to be really. That whole church is up this morning. My heart went out to these old people. I mean, there's some good people there, but they're dried up. They lost their love. They lost their zeal. They lost their purpose. And they're not being fed. And shame on people that don't bring the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the theme of the hour. The Holy Ghost is a reason to live. The Holy Ghost is what we have. He's our uplifter. He's our merry way maker. And he's going to get us into heaven. He is going to get us into heaven by no other means. But he is going to make us into heaven. We're going to make it to the Enoch. Just put that in there. For I walked with the Holy Ghost. I was not, for the Holy Ghost took me in. Is that reasonable? That's exactly, you need to mark it in your Bibles. God give me a revelation. I know it's from heaven. It's Genesis 5:24. And the Holy Ghost walked with me, for you. And you was not because he took you. That's just exactly what's going to happen. Exactly. It's already written in the Bible. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. We got to walk with God. That we might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, according to his glorious power, according to his glorious power, and all long suffering, We're to suffer if we have to. Long-suffering with joyfulness. When we suffer with joyfulness. Even thanks to the Father who has made us meet. I heard it the other day. The Lord spoke to me. And He can answer our prayers a lot more times. But He does it because we need to retain some of our inheritance. You know, God, through your staying obedient through suffering, you get tremendous power of obligation. It means you get a landfill of God's bank on your bank account. He sees you there when you don't grumble, when you don't complain, when you're hurting. He says, that's where my son was. My son didn't grumble either. He gave himself freely. And we need to do that freely. There's times when we have to suffer. God does it for that reason. And when you suffer, He gives you great blessing. He comes with a great understanding, great compassion upon you. He remembers that you're made of dust, but yet you're still in the load. You're still there, not forming away. You're walking by God's Spirit. You're walking in His Spirit to serve the living God. You're not walking in your own selfish framework. And that's what we get in our own self. We get our own selfish condition. We want to command God what to do. And then we have the thing to say to people, well, this is from God because I'm doing it. No, it's not from God. We're saying something, then we're actually lying. Actually, some truths were not even truth there this morning, because those weren't by the Spirit. So you're saying something, and the enemy sometimes will bless you because he wants that to be told. He gives you some powers from darkness. So that's bad. That's what it's going to be in the last days. There's going to be hospital beds. People are going to walk up wrong spirits. We need to have a true value. People not all say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but He doeth the will of the Father, which art in heaven. How do we know that we're walking in the Spirit? Through the evidence of the Spirit. When you get out of the Spirit, you know it. There's not that unction. It talks about the holy unction. The unction is the supernatural Spirit of God that comes upon you that enables you to do the will of God. It's an unction that comes from heaven. It's just when you know. You can't explain how you know it, but you know it's God. But you know it's not yourself. We are specially anointed. We are the sheep of His pasture, in the gates of thanksgiving, in His courts with praise. Know that we are the sons of God. We walk in His blessing, in His counsel, in His direction, in His holiness. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In this last hour, we do need the unction of the Holy One. We need the unction of God, that we might walk in His blessing, His power. And John talks about, said, the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you, and you need nothing any man teaches you. But that same anointing teaches you all things, is truth, and is no lie, even as He taught you, ye shall abide in Him. The Spirit of God is for a reason. It's for leadership. It's also to keep us clean. You know, oil in a machine is not for lubrication. But oil keeps a machine clean. That flowing that oil through the systems, and then you run it through a filter, it keeps that spirit, that system immaculate. That's how your car works. That's how your tractor runs. All these things that we use as surveillance or of getting equipment to move and all these things, it's done by the works of oil. Oil is the thing that keeps things running. And we have to have it to be able to maintain. And oil is a substance. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He is that lubrication. He is that blessing that encourages us through life itself. He helps us to walk when there is no power, when there's no anointing, when there's nothing that we feel that the word of man, wherever we look, go, that people are against us. But God is not against us. He never lets you go. His eye is over the righteous and His ears are open to their cries. He is always there available. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. See? You know all things that you need to know. Don't need nothing you don't need to know. All things that you, all, you need to know all things. You can only have one thought in your head at all times. So God keeps the right thought in your thing at all times. He gives you an unction to know all things. You know all things at the proper time. It's all stored there, and when the proper time, it goes out just like a light. It goes out. It's unction from the Holy One. And I'd like to read this again. For the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, And you need not that any man teaches you all things. And is truth and is no lie. It's truth and is no lie. And even as he taught you, ye shall abide in him. So we have to purpose. This is where our part comes in existence right now. We have to want to stay under his tutorship. How do we do that? Submitting to him. Not having your own way. Not doing what you wish to do. He may tell you to do the opposite. I'm pretty sure that's what he'll do with most people. Just turn around and do the first things over. So if there's going to be some of these things you're going to just put out in the garbage. We're going to pick them up in the trash tomorrow and pretty soon they're going to be just history. But if you do that, there's time. If you hang on to those weights right now where you have not the comforter, when he comes, you're going to miss him. When he comes to the clouds of glory, he's the one that's going to come back and receive you back to Jesus. He is the one. So the one that you're telling your churches just to butt off, you tell everybody not, but a blind person can see it's not evident. There's no evidence what you're saying is even truthful. The Bible says there is no lie. You need nothing any man teaches you. So if he teaches you, you're going to get all of your messages from him. You're going to listen to him because he is the one. It's that simple. But you don't have to know too much. I don't really know nothing. So I've learned just enough to know that God is God. And I don't have nothing to say only when he has it to say. And I'm going to be just about time and he's going to take over because I'm out of stuff. And God's here to bless you. He's here to uplift you. I feel his unction now. That's why I'm saying this. I believe that God wants to encourage you. God wants to make his face to shine upon you. Wants to bless you. Wants to keep you in all ways. And keep you out of harm's way. There's troubled places that should not be. But we should be separated from some things where the cares of this world. We don't really need them. We don't need to know them. We don't have no friendship with the world. We're not bargaining with the wrong people. We don't have to bargain. God already did it for us. What agreement have the temple of God with us? Where we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell with them. I will walk with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you. And I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises dearly beloved, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh, and perfect in holiness in the fear of God. Does that seem like alliance? God wants to be singular. He is our leader. He's our way. He's our pastor. He is everything. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for showing this is your day. And we shall rejoice in it. We're thankful for all you've done. We pray for those people this day that are misguided and misdirected. And they don't have your spirit of God. We pray that somehow they might want that desire. We pray that they might have a time to change. But Father, thy will be done. Father, we do want to make heaven. Not there this day, but I know there's some of you out there that you want to make it to heaven. You need to be as Enoch. You walk with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will take you home with him. The Holy Spirit will take you home with him. You don't have him. He's coming back for those that know him. He's coming back who have walked with him. He's come back. He's come to those who obeyed him, those who sought for him, those who have called his name. The Holy Ghost is the leader. He is the one that's going to bring us back to Jesus. Some of God, Jesus is coming back, but he's going to bring us to that day. And God bless you all. I pray that God will love you, bless you in a mighty way. I pray that you'll have a happy day. We pray that you'll hear from you this day. And remember, as Enoch walked with God, you can walk with the Holy Ghost, and you can be delivered at that day, and you'll see God forevermore in the heaven. You'll see God, yes, because the Holy Ghost will lead you and bring you, deliver you to Jesus Christ, the right, who's the propitiation of our sins, not for sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is painful that we might receive that abundant blessing, that pardon forevermore. God bless you all. God bless you. God bless you. And the love of God be upon you forevermore. Amen. Amen.
Today, and this young lady, she's asking for prayer. I'm in such despair and feel that this is my punishment for the way I used to live. I'm a born-again Christian, but I was backslidden for a while. I'm trying to get closer to God again, and I'm praying that He'll be merciful. I've asked God to forgive me for my sins, and I've asked Him to heal me. I'm reading healing scriptures, trying to build my faith so I can receive a miracle healing. Could you please find it in your heart to lift me up in prayer and agree with me for healing of this horrifying affliction? I want to have a bright future, and I feel like I don't have one. I appreciate your prayers.
But you go ahead and pray with me. I want to agree with you, brother.
Father in heaven,
we thank you. Father, we thank you for this young lady and for her life. And Father, that she has done all that she knows to do, Lord. And she's written in, she's reading the healing scriptures. But Lord, she needs the mighty touch of the Holy Spirit upon her life. Lord, she needs to know that you love her. Lord, we just thank you for washing her again of anything that might be in her life that isn't pleasing to you. Helping her, Lord, because she's doing all she knows to do. And we just pray for the mighty move of the Holy Spirit. We curse that old disease off of her in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that she would come into the mighty move of the Holy Spirit, who could protect her and help her and heal her and lead her into a new walk and a new talk. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this young lady. Give her hope, Father, in Jesus' name, as Brother Freedom and I agree together for her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It'll be done. Believe it.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen.